We'll plan for nine.
Blog Talk Radio.
On my knees every night, a leader starts seeing the light. 'Cause the road that we're on ain't where we belong. We've gotten so far away from the truth. God has been and always will be the foundation of life's liberty. Like me and you, it's high time we spread the news. We can't sit around anymore. Come on and stand up, stand up, and fight for what you believe in. This is God's country.
Show tonight on Parental Sovereignty Radio. Let me tell you, we've got a guest on tonight that a lot of times we have guests and I have contact with them. I talk, on an occasional basis. This is somebody that I talk with frequently during the week. And she's working hard. She's a hardworking patriot. And she's working hard for the future of this country on topics that we quite often discuss. Getting back to basics, making sure that our children have a future that we can be proud of in this country. We're going to have a great show tonight. Join me with Rodney Stanhope out here in California and Dan Wilson down in Florida and Jennifer Montrose and Stacey Tawbush from down in Alabama. We are going to have a great roundtable discussion tonight on Contending for Truth Radio. If you want to call in, we'll give you that number in a little while. We'll take some call-ins towards the end if anybody wants to call in. But we really want to get into our guests right away. We want to discuss some issues. This is Parental Sovereignty Radio. It's because we believe, the five of us here believe that parental sovereignty is under attack. The biggest foot in that attack right now is Common Core. It was Common Core and C-Scope in Texas, its little cousin, but C-Scope's pretty much been demolished, and we're working on doing that with Common Core. But the purpose of Common Core is to systematically undermine parental authority, to systematically indoctrinate and induce some of the concepts that the left has been using for a long time to infuse into our educational system. And so we're going to, our little family here is going to join with a friend here in California, and anybody that's listened to this show very many times and knows that I often say all of my friends back east have all the fun, and all I get out here is an old Blog Talk radio show. And then Dan came on the show, and I've got my California connection for the first time in 2.5 years. Everything that I've done over the last 2.5 years politically, for the most part, has been back east. But we've got an opportunity to have a guest from out here in California. So I do believe that means we got 3 in California against 3 out in Florida. And let me tell you, we need that, Angela, because it is not easy out here. I want to welcome everybody to a friend of mine. She is the founder and the lead honcho on Parents and Educators Against Common Core Standards on the Internet. And it's a large group. It's 5,000 people. They're running strong. And let me tell you, it is not an easy job. She is also on the Travis School Board, as Rodney mentioned, right before we started the show. Rodney helped on Angela's on a run for the school board there in Travis. So they're friends. They know each other already. So we're going to have a great show tonight. Angela Weinsinger, let me tell you, I work with a lot of people over time and on Facebook and different things that I do, different things, Blog Talk Radio, Twitter stuff, Facebook, Ed Cain stuff, Common Core stuff. I have very, very few friends who are working as hard as you are, both online and on the ground. I got a lot of friends that spend a lot of time online that don't really have the time or the ability to get out on the ground. But you not only work hard online, you work hard on the ground. You're involved as involved as a parent can be. You're on the Travis School Board. Let me tell you, you know this already, and everybody else knows I'm going to say this. You rock. You're way up there in my book, girl. I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to call you as a friend, and I am proud to welcome you onto this show. And I'm going to hand it over to you and let you just give us yourself a quick biography of what you've been doing, what you're involved in. Tell us a little bit about Parents and Educators Against Common Core and the work that you've done with it and the contacts you've been able to make with it and the accomplishments. And I'm just going to stop ranting and gushing, and I think you rock, girl. I'm handing it over to you.
Thank you, Scott. I don't know that I quite deserve all of that, but in any case, I will tell you and your listeners a little bit about me. I'm a mom of 3 kids. I have a soon-to-be junior, freshman, and then a 6th grader, and they all attend public school in my school district. They don't attend the same school district that I did here where I live. We're in the neighboring school district. But about 5 years ago or so, we had an issue with our elementary school that really began to show me that parental rights were starting to be diminished. They already had been started, but I was starting to feel the effects of that. And so I made a decision that I was going to get involved because I wasn't going to allow for that, because I felt like these are my children and I have a right to have a say in their education and not be pushed aside just because I'm not some bureaucrat in the educational system, because it's because of my children that they all have a job. And so I felt it very important to be involved in. Next thing I know, I'm in the middle of running for campaign to get on the school board. And when I was a kid, that was not something I ever thought I would be doing. I'm not new to education other than my own education, but my father taught in public education for over 40 years. And so I understand a little bit about the education system, but I never considered the fact of running for school board ever until this started happening with my parental rights being diminished.
Yeah, just fine, parking. I'll text you.
And so I ended up running. There were 2 seats open and 4 people running for those 2 seats, 2 of which were the incumbents. And as it turned out, one of the other incumbents took 1 seat, and I took the seat of away from the other incumbent who had been on the board for 16 years. Now, mind you, I didn't know a lot. I was one of those parents that sat back and complained when the school district did this or that or whatever and didn't really have complete knowledge and understanding of what it takes to run a school district. So in my short year and a half of being on the school board, I've learned a lot. And there is a lot behind it. And now I'm a champion for making sure that parents know when they need to be getting involved and active, because that was part of the problem is we all kind of like to sit around and complain, but then we don't always do something about it. And I made a vow when I got on the school board, there were a couple goals that I made for myself. One was to make sure that parents knew when important things were coming up that they needed to be involved in it, and I have done that to an extent. And the other was that I was going to be to at least one school event somewhere in the district once a week, and I've pretty much kept to that that goal of mine, because I wanted parents and teachers and staff to see that I was a school board member that cared about what was going on in their location and wanted to know what's going on. So I've been pretty true to that goal for myself. One particular night after a kind of a frustrating school board meeting, I was feeling like I didn't have a lot of control over the situation that I wanted to have more control over, which is a little bit frustrating for me. When you're on a school board, it's not just you. You have either four or six other people that you're working with to make the decisions, and obviously you have to have a majority vote in order for something to pass. And I felt like I was losing control in something that I felt very, very, that was very important to me and to my children and my family and the other parents that I'm aware of. And so I came home, and back in December of last year, I had heard a speech by Orlene Kohler that you have interviewed on your show before. I had heard about Common Core through her. And I knew that Common Core was something that I needed to be fighting. After I heard her, I realized that that was probably the reason why I was put onto this school board, was to help to fight the Common Core standards. And so in my frustration of this school board meeting not going the way I wanted it to, and it had nothing to do with Common Core, but I was just feeling frustrated. I thought, I need to do something that I have control over. And so I started thinking about the Common Core stuff, and I started looking on Facebook to see if there was any Facebook pages that dealt with Common Core and fighting it. And I was going to join them, and I was going to, you know, do what I could. Well, I only found two, and they were both two different states. One was Indiana and one was Utah. And I don't live in either one of those states, and so even though they were great ones to be a part of because they were at least something, I didn't feel it really pertained particularly to my situation in that I live in California, very, very liberal California. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something that I know I have control of. And so I started this Facebook group called Parents and Educators Against Common Core Standards, and it was going to be for anybody and everybody. It wasn't going to be particularly just for California. And I added my about 20 friends that I thought would be in agreement with me, and thought, okay, well, here, we're going to maybe talk about a few things having to do with education and Common Core and everything. And so, you know, for a day or so, it kind of just stayed at between 20 and 30 people. Well, just 2 days later, Glenn Beck's TV show happened to be about Common Core. In fact, he had one of the Utah moms that has been fighting Common Core for the last 2 years was on the show along with three other individuals, and I didn't realize that the show was going to be on that particular day, but it was. And after his show aired, then I started having people add to my group, and by the end of the weekend, I had about 300 people on the group. It grew that quickly. And so I was going along, and I'm thinking, great. So every once in a while, more people would add on. And then exactly a week later, Glenn Beck did another show on Common Core. And it was a pretty significant one because they talked about the data mining and some of the more nefarious stuff about Common Core. And the next thing I know, when I get home from work, I have like 145 requests to join my page. And I'm thinking, where did this come from all of a sudden? Because it like doubled my page in less than 3 hours. And somebody said, oh, Glenn Beck did a show on Common Core, and he put a snapshot of your Facebook page up on his show. And I said, what? And so I go and I watch the show, and lo and behold, the very last 30 seconds of the show, he was telling people about different places that they could go online to get support and start learning more about it. And he did. His group put up, they took a snapshot of my Facebook page and showed it on his big old huge screen. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there it is. And so for the next 24 hours, I just had people constantly adding on to my group. Well, then the next day, he did another show about Common Core, and in the middle of the show, he showed another snapshot of my page. And by the end of that 48 hours time, I had 1,800 people that had joined my Facebook page. And it was just kind of crazy. And then within a month's time, I was up to 3,000 people. So within 4 weeks, there were 3,000 people on the group because people just kept adding and kept adding. And then from there, people within the group started forming their own state groups off of mine, offshoots. Then we had homeschooling groups forming groups off of my group. And it just kind of has snowballed. And I think we almost have almost all 50 of the states represented with a state Facebook page for fighting Common Core. Some states have more than one. And so it just has kind of snowballed from there. And now we, like you said, we're nearly up to 5,000 people. And it is truly amazing to me, as these people have added on, the amount of sharing that has taken place, all the information that is shared, the talents that people have shared with each other, making up T-shirts and bumper stickers and yard signs, and not charging people for them. They just get to use their designs and everything. And so everybody is just so very willing to be helpful with each other. And the one thing that I worried about especially is our teachers, because with Common Core, the teachers are being, there's a, like a gag order with teachers that they can't openly voice their opinions about Common Core. And so I made sure to make our group a closed group so that they would have a little bit of freedom to discuss how they feel about Common Core and their frustrations and what they're experiencing as teachers, and how we can then turn around and support them as parents. And so amazingly enough, we have a lot of teachers that have joined our page. We have several school board members that are across the nation who have joined the page. We even have a state representative from Michigan, and we have a lot of bloggers and some media people that have joined our page, and some very well-educated. We have the psychiatrist that was on the Glenn Beck show when they talked about the data mining. He is a member of our page. So we just have a wide variety of people that are very, very concerned. They come from varied political persuasions, religious persuasions, anything and everything. It's a very wide spectrum of people, so it's not just what you would call your conservative Tea Party group people. It is a wide range of people, and in my opinion, that is fabulous, because this is not an issue that's just a Tea Party issue or a conservative issue. It's about our children. And so it's very important, because when we have that wide variety or spectrum of people, then it makes the message more pertinent to everybody. And so that was very important to me, and I'm grateful that we have that wide variety of people on the page. So that's kind of where I'm at. I know California has been a little bit slow on the uptake in getting going with Common Core. Many other states are a lot further along in it. I have some opinions about why that may be, and it's really just my opinion, but there are little things that keep happening that kind of reinforce that that's probably true, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm working very hard in working on the school board and trying to make things happen here in California so that we have, because we basically have a year left before the Common Core is completely supposed to be embedded into our system, our education system. And so we have this 1 year time to do what kind of damage we can to get it out. And so I'm feeling a little bit of pressure, but I'm very hopeful in that there's been so many people that have begun to wake up to what Common Core is, because they've kept it secret for so long, and they're so far ahead of us in the implementation as far as their plans and everything. And I say there with quotation marks, because there's these people out there somewhere that kind of hide behind curtains and don't let themselves be known very easily. And so it's hard to know where to pin the blame for all of this, but it's not going to be a good thing for our children. It's not going to be a good thing for our nation, and we need to do anything and everything we can to fight this. And I've come to realize that that's my mission with being on this school board. I honestly believe God placed me here for that reason, and I've said it before, I will fight Common Core until it's gone, or I will die trying. And so that's kind of where I'm at. That's how passionate I am at this point. So I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to know about me, but, you know, that's the basics at this point. So
that was exactly where I was going, you know, Angela. And I did gush it on, but I mean that. You know, I've got Jennifer Montrose is the same way. I'm in some groups with her, and well, of course, we got the radio group, so we talk in that a lot. But I, for a long time, I've seen every day what you're doing. I know where you've been camping. I know we chat.
Yeah.
There's 5-6 of us, and I'm one of your admins. I didn't mention that earlier. I'm one of the admins in that group, and the 6 of us chat about stuff going on in Common Core, and we like Jennifer Montrose and some of our groups, we chat in about things that are going on in our daily lives. And you're working hard for this, girl. I'm telling you, and that means a lot to me, because I can't get out and do the street work. I can't do that. I can't be street team. I can help organize the street team, but I can't be street team. I'm stuck on this property with these kids. I can do a lot of internet stuff. But you get in your car and you go, and you do, and you talk to people, and you organize, and you are just, you're making a difference. And that's huge to me, because it's personal to me. And everybody on this show understands exactly what I mean by that. I'm glad you kind of ended it where you ended it, because that was really where I wanted to kind of start our discussion as we pass it around the table.
Uh-huh.
Your group that you've put together of 4,883, when I looked about 2 minutes ago,
okay,
is made up of a lot of different kinds of people. The first time that I started investigating Common Core, and we interviewed Orlean, and I looked at everything I could find, one of the things that sparked my interest about how to fight this was the fact that this is the key to show the truth about government overreach.
Absolutely.
And it's not a Republican thing, and it's not a Democrat thing.
No.
It's just that we know that the government has a hard enough time operating the post office. Our own president admits that. Why in the world would we want them, no matter whether it was good, I tried to pronounce her name without looking at it. She's been doing Common Core for 30 years before they even knew to call it Common Core. It doesn't matter to me if Common Core was putting out the Ten Commandments. The system itself is destined to fall, because you cannot take and control something that is as important as our education of our children on a large, huge government base. You're going to have waste, fraud, and abuse to start off with. And you're going to have chaos, and you're going to always have somebody trying to control the message. I wouldn't want Common Core if I was guaranteed that conservatives would hold the world for the next 200 years. I still wouldn't want Common Core.
Right.
You hit on a big thing. I believe that everybody we talk to can understand this concept. They can understand the concept, the last one you left with, the secrecy of this. Our teachers across this nation have literally been told to not talk to the parents about Common Core.
Well, they're told they tell teachers a lot of things, but not to tell parents. And unless parents really understand what their rights are and what their rights are for them and for their children, they don't know what questions to ask. And the teachers are told, do not give out information unless you're asked a specific question. And to me, that just seems so wrong. And as a teacher, if I were a teacher, I would be just appalled that somebody would do that, because in my mind, I'm there to teach children and help them to grow and to be productive adults. And why would I want to do some hold back information that might help them to be better educated and better productive adults at some point in their lives? And so, to me, I'd be offended by that, to have somebody tell me, you don't tell people about this, because we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to do any more work than we have to do. And so I find it very frustrating that the education system has gotten to that point. Now, do I think that parents are often a pain in the rear end for teachers and districts? Absolutely, because there are a lot of parents out there that don't want to take responsibility for their children and their children's behavior and different things like that. So I think we've gotten out of balance between the two, because we're telling teachers to hold back information, and yet we don't hold parents accountable for their children and what they do. And so that's where I become very passionate, because I am one of those parents that takes responsibility for my children. If they've done something wrong, they've done something wrong, and they need to suffer the consequences of that. But we have too many parents that are not in that camp at this point in their lives. And so we have this imbalance going on between the school system and parents, and that's where the failure of the education system comes, is that we have this chaos of not doing the right thing for the right reasons, in my mind. And so,
oh, exactly. And I just think, I really do, I think you add to that the money that's involved in this and the bribery, call it for what it is, really involved in it. I believe you've got an issue that surpasses government, GOP, and Democratic Party. I think it encompasses far left, middle left, libertarian, whatever you are. I think it passes everybody, and I just really do. Let me tell you, I'm going to pass it on to Rodney, because I did not know Angela until Rodney put in our radio chat. Yeah, I helped Angela on her campaign to run on the Travis School Board, and I think that was awesome. Rodney's a great guy. Rodney knows everybody up in town, California. And let me tell you, he's another one. He's out on the road. He's not doing everything he does from his computer. He's out on the road, and he's helping, and he's working hard, and he should have been the vice chairman of the California GOP, and that's my rant. Rodney, I hand it to you to talk to Angela.
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm very glad to be here. And actually, it's noisy in the background because I am broadcasting live from the Republican booth at the California State Fair in Sacramento, and they all want to chant, OMG, Obama must go. So,
Obamacare must go,
yes. So, but I'm glad we got Angela on tonight. And I want to point out that we talked about it before, with getting out of your comfort zone is how you're going to take back America, and doing whatever it takes to get the message out there and educate the voters. I've met Angela. I worked in her campaign. She is an amazing person who truly, in my opinion, she's telling the truth. Never ever woke up one morning and said, I want to run a campaign for school board. She never said she wanted to run a national group, and even I would never have imagined, Angela, that you'd be doing this. Absolutely beyond fantastic, and it's so glad to know you. But this was not her comfort zone. Our forefathers that formed the country, it was not their comfort zone. People getting out, educating the voters, educating the masses on the truth, not the lies on the MSN mainstream media. And Angela is just absolutely phenomenal at doing this in an area that she had nothing to do with. And furthermore, I want to point out and go off on my little tangent here. This whole week, Scott, you've seen my Facebook page. It's all been about Zimmerman Martin. Now, it's a tragic case, very sad. A Hispanic man kills an African-American. The DA decides there's not enough evidence to prosecute the case. The Obama administration steps in, gets involved. The attorney general, Holder, strong arms the state governor and the state AG. The case is taken away from the county. Next thing, it's a crime to be white in California, all over the country. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the new Black Panthers. This is the prime example of what we're up against. And it's been absolutely pathetic. And now all of a sudden we've got riots everywhere, stopping cars and violating our rights for something we didn't even have anything to do with. And, you know, with between Common Core, parents not stepping in to educate their children, we're not doing our job to educate the public, and we have got people running our country that don't have a clue. It's the T-shirt I made for the State Fair this year. It says, okay, the joke's over. I want my Constitution back because it's being taken away from us. And with that, Angela, thank you for being on the show, and I pass it to Dan.
Hi, great to be here again, and yeah, I'd like to add to that, Rodney. Here in Florida, I was so disappointed when our governor a couple weeks ago came on the on the air and promoting Common Core, and my future daughter-in-law, she's a teacher. Everybody hates it. This is a system that is destined for failure, and I'm absolutely furious with it. And then we add this Zimmerman case. To me, this is a direct, when Eric Holder contacted the DA to get them to press charges against Zimmerman, that's a direct violation to our state sovereignty. The federal government should have never gotten involved in this. They had no right to get involved in this, yet they did. It was tried, and for anybody who listened to the trial, it was so lopsided towards Zimmerman and his story that prosecution didn't have a leg to stand on. There was only one choice, and that was not guilty. But we have these people out in California who didn't stop to actually listen to the trial, and Chicago and Atlanta and, you know, all over, and they're rioting on something that, for one thing, they don't have a leg to stand on. It shows that they did not have any knowledge of it. And yet, you know, this administration, again, just split our country up a little more, and they're doing a really good job on it. And, but back to Common Core, I have a friend of mine out in, who teaches out in Riverside, California. He teaches special education. Been doing so for the last 15 years. Has always gotten great reviews. Excuse me. And he called me up the other day and just telling me how frustrated he was with work, how they are basically hog-tying him and not allowing him to teach the way he wants to and the way he's been teaching for the last 15 years. Now, it's actually going along a lot further than anybody really anticipated down in Riverside. And he's sitting there going, you know, what do I do? And I'm sitting there going, I don't know. I mean, I am totally against it. I have a granddaughter going into first grade this year, and I am terrified of what the heck she's going to be learning. Angela, I'm really, really happy that you got involved and are doing this. And have you been talking to many teachers out there about the whole program and, you know, what's their feedback on it?
Most of the teachers that I've talked to are ones that are not in my district. They're ones that I've met through my Facebook group at this point in time, mainly because I hesitate to call myself a politician because it's kind of like a dirty word now. But I guess because I am an elected official, I am considered a politician now, in quotation marks. But I'm learning that there are strategies and things you have to do in order to be able to get things done. And just in the last little while before we broke for summer break, we were in negotiations with our unions, and so I was waiting until I got through that as a school district before I started really approaching teachers in our district about Common Core, because I didn't want anything to mess up the negotiation process. And so now that we're beyond that, we have our tentative agreement signed and everything, then I can start approaching some of the individuals that I have a strong relationship with, teachers that have had my children, and start asking them more pointed questions about it. And going back to the special education part of it, the very frustrating thing about it is that there is not going to be much in the way of help for special education children. They are going to be expected to perform at the same level as children who are not in the special education program. Now, special education nowadays is much different than it was when I was a child, in that it's a wide spectrum of different issues that can be classified, that a child can be classified into special education. You know, anywhere, because now things like ADHD and autism and all those type of conditions fall into that category now. So it's not just physical limitations. It's not just that a child has the physical disabilities that would prevent them from, and the mental capacity to be able to function on the same level as other children, but it's the emotional things as well. So it's a wide spectrum, but I have not seen in my studies that there is going to be any help for those children, that they are going to be expected to perform at the same level as all of the rest of the children are. And in my mind, and I know for many, many parents who have children who are in special education, either through their IEPs or whatever it is, their issue that they're dealing with, this scares them even more than it does for the rest of us, because it means that their children will not be able to progress and do what they need to do to help them. And I really feel for special ed teachers, because they are going to be under a lot of pressure. And it's just very unfortunate, because those teachers, they're extra special, because they have to deal with a lot, and they have a lot more education that they have to go through in order to be certified as a special education teacher. And so for me, in my mind, it's just such an unfair disadvantage for them, in that they are going to have so much pressure put on them. So when you said your friend called you, I don't doubt that they called you, because it's going to be horrible for them and for those parents and those children. And so, you know, teachers, I have not personally talked to any teachers that have quit because of it. I've seen YouTube videos of teachers that have talked about that they gave up the profession because of Common Core coming in. I had another online friend of mine who has spoken to a teacher here in California, that they gathered their county. It was in the Monterey County, so a very well-off county, gathered all of their teachers and educational personnel and everybody, and had a big, huge meeting, and it was all about the Common Core. And this is what we're going to do, and this is how this is going to happen, and we need you all to sign on to this. We need you to be willing and ready to teach Common Core the way it's going to be laid out. And in order to make sure you're going to do that, we're going to have you sign this contract that's what you're going to do. And if you're not willing to, then you can resign. And this particular teacher, now again, this is secondhand, so just keep that in mind. I have not talked to her personally yet, although I have her information to call her. This teacher decided that she couldn't do that, and she resigned. And when I heard this story, I was just amazed, because, first of all, where's the teachers' union? I don't know how in the world they were able to accomplish that particular signing of a document without there being a negotiation process that happened with the teachers union. You don't do anything without the teachers union approval. So how that happened just baffles me. And so I'm not sure that this district can do this the way that they've done it, this county district. So, you know, it's things like that. I have another teacher that I've talked to on the phone that she's very frustrated, and she's made mention about Common Core in her staff meetings, and she's gotten a blank stare from everybody, and then as she keeps talking about it, she gets other teachers that start talking to her about it. But her principal and everybody else above her just are kind of like, they want you to shut up. They don't want them to talk about it because there's something that's being held over their heads. And so they're scaring them into being silent. And in my country, that is not the way things are done. We don't put gag orders on teachers. We have a right to speak up if we have concerns about things. Why is it that that is going to jeopardize a teacher's job if they're not happy with something? And that's the other thing that's going to happen with Common Core, is that because the way it's being implemented, there is not a elected official that is going to have any responsibility to this, the way that they implemented it all. That so when a teacher comes to me as a school board, or a parent comes to me as a school board member and says, I'm not liking this. My child just is not doing well, and I'm not in agreement with some of this stuff, and I can't figure out the math, and why are they reading this manual instead of reading something like A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, or, you know, something like that. And they're going to come to me, and I'm going to say, I know, I feel the same way, and yet there is nothing I can do about it because it's coming down from top down. And then I'll go to my state representative, and they'll say, well, we didn't vote it in either, because they didn't, and I won't have a way to go to them for it either. And then, so there's not an elected official that really has a hands-on responsibility to it. And that's where the breakdown comes as far as parents and teachers, their rights to have a say in their children's education and have a say in their profession. And for me, that's just a travesty, because I love teachers. I told you, my dad was a teacher for over 40 years. And when they're good teachers, they are awesome. Everybody wants to be in that teacher's classroom, and they can do wonders with children. And I just hate to see that be squashed because they're being dictated on how to teach and what to teach and how much to teach, and you can't do this, you can do that. And it just makes me very, very sad, because education is so precious to me, because when you're educated, you have the world open to you. And so to think that somebody's going to squeeze it all into one little thing so that children then don't have the opportunities that we have had throughout our lives to continue to be creative and to make inventions and to have businesses that really are helpful to our society as a whole. And so it just is very frustrating. And again, one of those things, reasons why I get passionate about it and how we've got to stop it. So mm-hmm. I hope that got into what you wanted with that.
Yeah, it did. My friend actually stood up to against the school board and against his principal and really fought for his students. And for the first time in his entire career, they gave him a bad review.
Wow.
Yeah, it really kind of ticked me off that the teachers are not allowed to, you know, this guy's standing up for his students. He has been in his 15 years as a teacher, as a special ed teacher, has gotten rave reviews. The man is, as far as I'm concerned, he's a legend when it comes to special education. My father, I, like you, I grew up in in the academic environment. My dad taught at the university level,
mm-hmm.
but education was always a prime thing for me since I was a kid. At 10 years old, I was a research assistant for grad students.
Mm-hmm.
So learning was a big, very big part of my family as well. And it's very frustrating to see that teachers today are not allowed to teach.
Right.
They're supposed to follow what's being given to them, and you're supposed to, you know, teach what's on this test. Nothing else exists, and that's it. And we aren't going to give you the time to elaborate, tell them other things about our history as a nation, mathematics, anything, any field. It's, you know, just do what's on that little piece of paper. And I'm seeing that as being such a disservice to our children today.
Right.
And
it very much is being doing a disservice. And it's very, very sad because I've heard stories of children coming home very frustrated, and whereas they were really great students and they loved school, and now it's causing much stress in their lives, and parents are just like, what happened? What, my sweet, wonderful child is just frustrated and crying over homework. And you know, I've seen some of the lessons on YouTube. There, if you go on YouTube, you can find the math lessons and things like that. And it's amazing. It'll blow your mind away, and you're thinking, why are we doing this? These math lessons that take steps upon steps upon steps to get one little answer that you could have done in two or three steps over here. And I just think it's just, it is crazy. It's going to be just crazy. And in reality, what I think the ultimate goal is going to be, if you were to look at it from a long distance, long term of their agenda, would be, I ultimately think they want to get rid of teachers altogether. And that what I see is their vision is that they're going to have students sitting at desks with either computer screens or a TV screen at the head of the classroom, and they're going to have one centralized teacher teaching what they all want them to be taught from a centralized location, so everybody's getting the exact same lessons at the exact same time. There's no deviation. And when I think of that, it sounds very Orwellian, doesn't it? And yet, that's where I think they're going with it. They want teachers to be frustrated. They want to make sure that teachers are, they're going to dictate to them how to teach, what to teach, when to teach it, with no variance to it. And if you can't comply, then you're going to be fired, and the teachers' union is not going to be able to save them. And my opinion is that the teachers' union will be nothing more than a whistleblower on their members. That's what they will be reduced to. And that, to me, is so very sad, because the teaching profession is one of the most noblest professions there is, because you have to be a special person to want to sit for 6 hours with 30 kids in your classroom and love them and teach them as individuals and to come up with the ideas that will help them to learn the best way that they need to learn, because each child is so different. You can't teach the same to every single child and have them get it. It won't work. And so I just really have a hard time understanding why some person somewhere in that far off land who thinks they know that this is the best way to do it is just kind of, it's crazy to me. I can't wrap my brain around it.
No, I agree. Well, let me pass it over to Stacy. I'm sure she has, as a parent, she has a lot more to say. I'm the old man here. So let me pass it over to Stacy.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan. Angela, it is amazing to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time to come and speak with us tonight. Your site has done wonders in my life. I'm a single mom, and I have three elementary kids. Well, my third will be in elementary next month. And I use your site all the time in arguments, well, debates that eventually turn into arguments with friends, with family, with politicians, with superintendents, with teachers. So I just want you to know from the front lines, I'm like, Scott, I can't do a whole lot of legwork, but I can contact people locally. Mm-hmm. And I am able to use that network to reach out to other people who are doing the same thing. And because it's a closed group, we're able to talk openly and freely. And I just want you to know how valuable that is from me as just a mom. I actually came into Common Core in a painful way of experiencing those math problems here in Alabama with my daughter. And I kind of feel the same way you do. But after sitting and experiencing 3 hours of math homework with a second grader, I kind of feel that breaks my heart. She goes to bed in tears because she's so frustrated. And I go to bed in tears because I'm so angry. And I'm also a college student and I'm a math major. Oh. So the idea that I can't teach my 7-year-old how to do math is it's disheartening, and then it turns angry. Anyhow, I also wanted to touch on something you discussed. I have an ADHD child, and you were talking about the IEPs and what's going to happen to the special ed classes in the schools with Common Core. And I've thought about it from his aspect and his perspective and how it's going to be really hard for him. But I hadn't thought about it until tonight about how it's going to affect the gifted program, because I don't know how it is in other states, but here in Alabama, the gifted program, the students who excel, who want to learn more, who are craving more, are written up as special ed students as well. And they're pulled aside in special classes and they're given IEPs in the same way that a child with a learning disability is. So I wonder, since Common Core seems to be, you know, dumbing down education, and it already has, if that's not going to affect special ed in a way that children are advanced and discouraged from being advanced. Because I can tell you, from watching my daughter try to learn and getting so frustrated and so angry, and she's so hungry for knowledge in a really, really, really beautiful way, that I think that their ultimate goal, along with discouraging teachers from being teachers, is discouraging students from wanting to learn. Like, with putting in the reading of informational text instead of novels and historical literature, there's no drive for students to have a passion to learn on their own and outside of school. And I think those two together are going to make the system crash quickly, because if you don't have students to learn, you don't have, or students who want to learn, you're not likely to have teachers who are passionate about teaching, because they become discouraged. And those two back and forth put together is detrimental. My question for you is starts with an experience I had this weekend. I rode up to D.C. this weekend on a bus with some Tea Party Patriots, and we went to the march yesterday in D.C., and there were several people on our bus that I had never met before. One of them was a teacher, and when she said, "I'm a teacher," my ears perked up, because any chance I get to get a teacher's opinion, I'm all over it. And I realized from talking to her about 2 minutes that she is more indoctrinated than my child is. The same talking points that our state superintendent delivers when he talks about Common Core, that the AEA, the education union here, delivers when they're talking about Common Core, that the principals will tell you when they're talking about Common Core. She was spouting them like I had never heard anybody do, and she was on this bus of what's expected to be, obviously, extremely conservative people, and it terrified me that that they were able to reach someone with such conservative views so easily and do such an effective job of convincing them that Common Core was good. she was telling me things like Common Core is no different than what we had the year before. Common Core hasn't changed anything in my classroom. Common Core is good for students. I mean, just everything you can imagine. And I'm wondering what kind of pushback you're seeing and how you go about rebutting that when you hear it. What do you say to teachers when you hear that they've obviously been indoctrinated, that they're using talking points in that way? It literally makes my stomach hurt. And I almost get stunned when I hear people on the right do it, even though in Alabama I'm kind of getting used to it. But I don't know. I didn't know how to approach her because I was so stunned that someone so conservative could be for it when it was so obviously liberal idea.
Well, what I would recommend in talking with someone like that, and especially since she appears to be a conservative if she was on that bus, is I hear what you're saying, and yet I've done some research and I'm seeing differently. What you might want to do is then encourage her, please look into it further beyond what they're telling you. Make sure you're doing your research and find out both sides of the story before you make up your mind definitely. And don't ever make them feel like they're wrong, because you'll turn them off that way. Say, I've heard that, but I've also heard a lot of other things, and ask them, have you researched beyond what they're telling you? Because I can tell you right now, they're very, very good. Those people who have been formulating this are very, very good at convincing people that something can be wonderful when it's not. They just have that ability to do that. I think because they're so good at deception and lies, they've done it for so long that they're very, very good at it. And even in deceiving people who you would think could never possibly be deceived in something like that, but they're very good at that. And so I would, really ask them, please, just at least look at the other side to see if there's something and if you're still on board with it, fine. And then you just move on, because you can't keep butting your head up against a wall if you're not going to break through it at all. But at least put it out there for them. I know what my understanding is in the way that they're presenting it to teachers and to everybody is that the teachers aren't going to have to work as hard, because they're not going to have to teach as many different things. It's going to be one or two concepts, and they're going to go deeper into those concepts. Rather than teaching 10 different concepts, they're going to teach two. And so it makes it, on the surface, makes it sound like it's a great thing that these teachers aren't going to have to work so hard. And yet they're going to find, as they get further into it, that they're going to become more and more frustrated, because they are going to be limited in how much they're going to be able to do. They told our district, these are the standards, this is what we have to teach to, and then they're going to give us a 15% leeway of what we want to teach. And so we're going to have some creativity and some availability to do what we want to do. Well, what they don't tell everybody is that, yeah, they may give you that 15%, which, by the way, I believe has even been reduced now here in California. I'm hearing rumors about that 15% is no longer 15%. But in any case, the tests, the standardized tests, are not going to have that 15% on the tests. So if a teacher is needing to make sure that their students are being able to perform well on the tests, because their evaluation is going to be based on the outcome of those tests, do you think a teacher's going to spend an extra 15% on stuff that's not going to be on that test? Don't think so. Because their job is going to be on the line. And so it makes it very difficult for teachers to understand, because they're being told that this is going to be easier, this is going to be this way, it's going to be great, you'll love it. And they only tell them what they need them to hear at the moment to get them on board, and then they'll just keep pushing and pushing and pushing the limit, to the point where the teachers are going to one day say, how did I get here? What happened? They told me it was going to be this way. Now it's this way. And the only other thing I can say to you to say to them is, look at what other teachers in other states are experiencing right now. Give them the examples of the teachers that are coming, that are quitting. Like I said, there's YouTube videos with those kind of experiences that are happening. And there are plenty of people that are starting to speak out about it, teachers that are. And so that's the only way I can think of, is to encourage them to research themselves, the other side of the story, and to look at the examples of what other teachers are experiencing, and help them to realize that not every teacher is going to say anything negative about it because they're being threatened to not say anything about it. And you can only do so much. And so it's like, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. It's the same concept here, but at least give them the opportunity to then look at it for themselves, and then you just never know what will happen. I just saw a posting on our website, on the Facebook page, just today, that one of our members, she was able to turn a teacher's mind around because she said, here's what I'm learning, showed her the facts, and then let her, and said, please do your research. And this teacher came back to her, she said, I've changed my mind. I can't believe that this is what's going to be happening to us. And this is a teacher in California. And so it is possible to change their minds. You just have to get to them first with the things that will be most important to them. And that will be their teacher evaluations and the frustration that their students are going to have, and the fact that they're not going to be able to teach the way that they want to be able to teach. Those are the top three things that I would go at with a teacher when I'm talking to them. So does that help?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the way I approach it. I think, though, that it's important for it to be vocalized as often as possible on how to handle that. And I'm just not very good at putting it into words like you are. And I do that very often. Approach it gently and never attack anybody, because when someone attacks me, the first thing I do is shut them down.
Right.
And I have a unique approach because I am experiencing it firsthand. Mm-hmm. In doing so, I've been called a liar by politicians. I've been laughed at. I've been pushed aside. You know, everything you would expect out of politicians. But what's most surprised me is when I share these stories about what it's like now and what it was like before Common Core, these teachers will look at me and they'll go, that's not Common Core, that's the teacher. And so, you know, they go on how I have a bad teacher, which I know is not true. I know the difference, but that's where I leave it. And I see it as having planted a seed. And a lot of times I compare teaching conservatism to teaching the gospel, in that if you plant a seed, hopefully somebody will come along later and they'll remember that one little piece. But I just think it's hurtful to sit and watch teachers be sucked in by unions and politicians who don't have their best interest at heart. And it seems like that's happening with every issue in the country. But I do have a lot of hope in the grassroots movement, and just how quickly, because I was on your site from the very beginning, and I watched it explode, and it was so cool, and it was so exciting. And I think that starting in August, here in Alabama anyways, Common Core will be fully implemented, and parents won't have a choice but to wake up, because it will have such an effect on their students, and they'll be having to miss ball games to stay home and do homework, and they'll be seeing grades drop, if they see grades at all, because of the grading system changing and not giving letter grades and everything being different. It's going to be an awakening, but I'm really excited about having you out there helping lead that fight on Facebook, because so many parents are on Facebook. I'm going to pass it to Jennifer. Thank you, Angela, for talking to me. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Oh, this has been a very, very, very good show. I'm just real enlightened. You know, one of the things I think we can learn a lesson from, here I go, Scott, is Frederick Douglass. You know, he was a man who did not own his own body. He was a 47 percenter, and through the desire that he had to learn, he began to catch on to the fact that the more that he learned how to read, write, and do math, he could go a long way with that. And he ended up a one percenter. And what my concern is that I see with Common Core is that the passion that we have as kids to want to grow up and be astronauts and doctors and lawyers, you know, and even if not that, just, you know, the simple handyman, carpenter, or a plumber, and there's nothing wrong with those because we need those as well. But the creativity that children have is going to be sadly lost. And even some of our smarter kids, I like the way that Stacy touched on that, you know, because it's so important. And I know one of the things that really impacted me and inspired me about Douglass, you know, there was this subject matter about the three-fifths clause in the Constitution, and people on the left kind of want to call it a, you know, racist document. And he said for himself, rather than listen to what everybody else is saying about it, he decided to go and read it for himself. And there is such power in personal responsibility in doing what you need to do your own homework and not just listening to what the dominoes have said, because, you know, one falls, they all fall.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it can be contagious. And I think that's what's happened in our nation is we've got people that have been spoon-fed ideas, and they have been spoon-fed knowledge, and things that are not true. I mean, you can there's I was on a website the other day that says that for 200 years the Democratic Party has been champions of civil rights, and in reality, 200 years ago, we were still in slavery, and the people that were in the most support of slavery was the Democrats back then. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, it's in writings and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing that I was looking back on my childhood education, and I remember the plays and being able to play act and all the different things that had me writing, creative writing, and wanting to go places in books where I've never gone before, you know. And you know you can travel anywhere you want to go through reading, and just the imaginary things that you can do when you write in a journal and that sort of thing. And I see that slowly it's creeping in, and it's starting to take that away from our children. And if you can get the children at that age, then by the time they're grown adults, then just look at what this nation will have become. And that scares the heck out of me. Because the living, breathing document, the Constitution, that our founding fathers fought so hard for, and that one of our founding, you know, abolitionists, Frederick Douglass, embraced so much and believed in it so much. It was a powerful document, you know. I can't say enough about, you know, really trying to encourage people to get out there and find out the information for themselves, you know, because we're experiencing this in our own state here in Alabama. You know, people are torn because you've got, here's somebody over here that I think I'm supposed to trust, and they claim to, you know, be well-educated in the subject of, you know, education in Alabama, the school board and that sort of thing. But yet, you know, I have a good friend of mine who's a solid conservative, and he just solid, straight up, you know, hardcore, you know, with Christian values and that sort of thing, and married. And he's torn because he's listening to people that he thought were, you know, really good friends of his that are promoting Common Core. And they're saying, oh, you know, there's parts of it that are not that bad. You know, we just want to get rid of the bad parts and just leave the good stuff in. So it's not all bad. It's not all good. It needs to be tweaked. So let's fix it. You know, we'll just, whatever's going to work for Alabama. But, you know, and then he's got people on the other side telling him that it's, that it, you know, this is the bad stuff about it. And, you know, the data mining that comes from is all everything that's related to Agenda 21. So he thinks, oh, well, we got these conspiracy theorists on one side, you know. And but I say, you know, do the homework yourself. I think that what you're doing out there is a wonderful thing. I think we need more people willing to get off the couch and be a voice and get vocal. I've often said that I'm a single parent, and my child is 11 years old, and he's going to a middle school this fall. And I grew up with the guy that's now the principal of my old alma mater that my son's going to be going to. And I asked him about, you know, Common Core. He said math and English is going to be enacted in the fall. And he doesn't like it. But he's like, you know, I lose my job. You know, my livelihood. And, you know, I'm like, this is not what – this is the United States of America where people will fight – so hard to get here. Immigrants come because, you know, this is the land of the free, the home of the brave. We are the, you know, country that had great scholars and, you know, astronauts and doctors and, you know, and stuff. And, you know, where is all that going with this? You know, so the one question I have is, what's the alternative? You know, people say, come to me and say, well, okay, so if not Common Core, then what? What are the solutions if this is not the answer? Common Core is not the answer to educate our kids. Then what is? And I would like to hear some of your thoughts about some of the solutions that you've run across. I'm sure there's been numerous of workshops and that sort of thing, and think tanks that have been going on, because I've heard about, like, the Frederick Douglass, oh, goodness gracious, I'm trying to think, the charter schools that have been instituted in certain states, and there's actually been discussion about bringing a model of that here to right outside the skirts of Centerpoint and Irondale in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm really, really looking forward to hearing more of what's going to transpire with that idea as well. But,
well, I don't know that I have a great answer for you, because that's the big looming question that I hear from a lot of teachers in particular when I'm kind of watching the teachers. There's a fairly large teacher group that started as a teacher-only teacher group that is kind of against Common Core, but not all of them are on board with being against Common Core just yet. But that's the big looming question, because I can almost guarantee you that they, again in quotes, if something is going to get stopped with Common Core, they've already got plan probably B, C, D, and F in the works to come back put in place instead. Obviously, the way the Constitution was set up, it was not set up for the federal government to be involved in education at all. In fact, there shouldn't even be a U.S. Department of Education. It is supposed to be a state's issue only, and in my mind, every state should be able to have the right and the ability to set their own standards. Now, the biggest problem with Common Core for us here in California is that the Common Core standards are less than what we already currently have. Now, I know that's not the case in all states. So maybe Common Core for some other state in terms of the standards of where Common Core brings students up to would be a great thing for those states. Maybe not Common Core in the way that they have it, but if states could look at some of the other areas, the other states, and say, you know what, maybe we should start looking at doing something more like what they're doing, but with our own twist. Because I can tell you right now, in a school district, within a school district, different school sites have different cultures within their sites. You can't, I could not tell my teachers at the elementary school where my kids go to be able to teach the exact same way that the kids across the other side of the district should teach. Because there's such a diversity in terms of who their children are, who the teachers are. So how in the world can we expect that that should be the way across the nation? So from state to state, I think the state should set standards to where they want their children to reach, and then allow each one of the districts within the state to determine how they're going to get their students to those standards. And you have to figure out a way to be able you have to be able to figure out how you're going to make sure that those children have reached those standards. And so that's where the problem lies, is that then you have to have somebody who's going to make sure, write the standards, and then give out the standards, and then you have to have a way to record and report that those students have met those standards. And so there's a certain amount of testing that's going to need to be done, but it really needs to be pulled back again into the local areas. And getting parents more involved in it is very important. It has been shown widely that homeschooling kids do much better on average than most public school kids do, because a couple of reasons. First of all, they're getting a lot more one-on-one attention. Their parents are heavily, heavily involved in their education, and they are not limited as to what they can learn. They can go at their pace. They can learn on their individual basis. I actually have a superintendent that told me one time she thinks that every single child should have an IEP, what she meant by that is that every child is different. Every child should be able to learn at their pace and at their capability. And I thought that was brilliant. I thought that's exactly the way it should be. You have a teacher that facilitates their learning, gives them the basics, and then allows them to go through and learn at their pace and learn things and provide for them the ways in which they can continue to move on or to relearn more of the concepts if they're not getting it in a different way. That's what a good teacher does, is they look at their class as a whole, give them basics, and then teach them at where their children are at. So, like, my son is brilliant, and my son has ADHD as well. He's brilliant, and it blows my mind sometimes, but he's held back because we have to teach to the lowest common denominator of children, and it's very frustrating. So sometimes you get the kids who are the very lowest in their capabilities get lost, and you get the kids at the very high end of the spectrum of capabilities who get lost because we have to teach the main group in the middle, and it's very, very sad. And you're right, and creativity is going to diminish greatly, because what they're trying to do is they want to pigeonhole kids based on what they think, and again, quotations around they, what they think those kids, what their occupations should be. They are going to start putting kids in a career path in elementary school. And it just to the point where children aren't going to have a choice of what career they want to go into. So say if you have a child, I know kids at a very early age, they know they want to be a veterinarian. They love animals. They love horses, dogs, everything. They want to be a veterinarian. But if whoever they are decides that that's not where they're needed, that's not the path that they will get to go in. And to me, that's wrong. That goes against everything that our country is about. And so That's part of why they're going to do the data mining. That's why they're going to dumb everything down so they can find out who are really the ones that stand out and who doesn't. And then they'll start directing those children into the paths that they want them to go. And so it, when you start looking at it into really great depth and detail, you look at it and you're thinking, this is not what my country is about. This is not the way we do things. And how scary it is to think that that's the way it's going to go, that that's what they want. And so we have to be vigilant. We as parents, I have a school board mentor of mine. She's no longer a school board member, but she's been a teacher and been a school board member. And she has repeatedly say, parents, you need to be reading what's in your children's textbooks, because there's so much indoctrination that is going on with those textbooks. They're rewriting history. You need to find out what's in those books and then go to your school boards, and you need to complain about the fact that they have those textbooks in their classrooms and that's what's being taught from. And then you find all the different supplements that you can possibly get your hands on to help teach your children the true history and what math is really about, and get all the novels you can and read to them about Tom Sawyer and about Harry Potter and about all those different things. And don't let those things go by the wayside. Don't allow that to happen in your home. And so it requires work on our parts. But you know what? That's not a bad thing, because when we start doing that as parents, we're going to have better relationships with our children, and we're going to produce better adults later on in life. And they will learn to think for themselves, and they will be able to make decisions and to be productive human beings and not robots that are being told by some centralized government how to behave and how to work and how to act. And so it means that we as parents have to be diligent, and we have to be involved. There's no way around it, or we're going to lose everything that we hold dear to us. So I don't know if I answered your question or not. I don't know if I have the perfect right answer for what is going to replace it, but that's kind of my idea anyway.
I think you gave a great answer on it. And let me tell you, it takes a lot to shock me, and you did about 20 minutes ago. When you said, I picture having one person teaching the whole thing, and I'm pretty confident in my ability to think things through and see past what is right there. You know, I've never thought it through all the way that far, and you've really, wow. I've thought it as far through as we know that there would like to be a great big book burning. We know that periods of time in our history, people have wanted to get rid of information. They've used book burning, but we live in a different time.
Right.
We live in a time, and what I got from Orlean Coley the night that she talked and boy, I listened, was the concept that all of the book publishers at this point are owned by the same people.
Right.
And there are really no book publishers you can go to that are not, if when you go to the top, it's all the same people. And that's why Orlean publishes her own books, because we're getting smaller and smaller. And I thought as far as, you know, at any point they can shut off our information and change our information, and our kids, what they're getting on those computers in our school will be all one thing.
Right.
I had not, until you said tonight, made the correlation all the way with one person teaching every class all around the world. I mean, we've discussed many times on this show how this isn't a federal government thing. This is a UN thing. This is a one world thing.
Right.
Angela, I'm glad you went there. I really am, because I have not thought that far, and you know me. I'm a thinker. I'm a plotter. I'm a planner. I'm a thinker on this stuff. And I think you're exactly right. I think you hit the nose right on the head. We're going to go around the table.
I like to say lately that I owned the tinfoil hats before it was popular to do so.
Well, and I do too. And that's why when you said that earlier, I went, you know, I've never thought that far through.
Mm-hmm.
And where we know they're going, though, and this show and Contending for Truth Radio always goes back to the basics. I know that in the 11th, 10th, and 9th chapters of Genesis, before Abraham starts in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
we are learning about how society relates with God. And we've got Babel. And we've got the problem when things get too big and too bulky that people try to push God out of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
They try and push the basics out. We know that Nimrod, his purpose was really to give more control to the government and let people have to worry about less. Let the government take care of everything. We know there's a pattern there. We know there's a huge pattern of wanting. We've got, and Jennifer, she brought it up. I'm glad she brought it up. Frederick Douglass. That is one side of this story. Frederick Douglass learned very quickly from his master when his master said, education will ruin a slave. Frederick Douglass turned that lemon into lemonade and said, okay, so if I get educated, I can get out of this mess. And that's what life's about. That is what life. Every illustration, Stacey Tabush knows, I'll always go back to that stupid hurdle. It's about crossing hurdles and about jumping hurdles. But that's where the other side wants to take us, is that they've got control of what you learn.
Right.
Frederick Douglass' master had to have control of what Frederick Douglass understood in order to have control of Frederick Douglass. And that's the two sides we're at. That's why a Common Core is such a huge issue, because it's about the minds and the hearts of the people of the United States.
Yeah.
We oftentimes on here talk about candidates. We want candidates that will get out and win the minds and the hearts. I believe that's how we got to win Common Core. I believe it's never going to be done. I love what Glenn Beck is doing. I love what some of the other big mouths in our society are doing. But we've got to get down in and talk to the people that never hear what they say.
Right.
We've got to get down on the local basis. I am so mad at myself right now because when we interviewed Orlene Coley, I said we were getting ready to take this to Springville, and I haven't even had a chance yet. Stacy's been working. We've been working on a move to Texas, but within a few minutes, we could make sure everybody in Springville knows that Common Core is coming down the line. I haven't had time to do it. I've got time to support those that can get on the street. That's why I started when I started. But
well, and what what you do is you just start with your people at church and the people that you're friends with, and you just start talking about it. Throw little things out. I had one mom ask me, how do I start talking to them? And I said, you start talking to those parents when you're standing around waiting to pick up your kids from school. Did you have the same problem with the homework that my kids did last night? And you start with a little question like that, and you just never know where it's going to take you. And you just keep going that way and keep going that way. And then it's like it starts spreading like wildfire, just like with my Facebook group. If you start talking about it, because there's one thing that parents won't tolerate is somebody messing with their kids. And when you start, and that's when parents will start getting involved, if they realize that something's going to happen that's not good for their kids. If the band program is going to go away, if sports are going to go away, those things, that's when parents start showing up to school board meetings. Now, that's not the only reason why they should show up, but those are the big things. But if they start realizing that they're going to lose some more control of how things are going to work, and believe me, with Common Core, the way it's coming down, band and sports are going to go away, because that would mean extracurricular creativity of kids. And we can't have that unless they're going to make them into professional gymnasts or something like that. But that's the thing, is that you have to start just with one person, and then you get better at talking about it, and you get better, and you keep going until you've told everybody you can tell, and then you tell them to go tell everybody else about it in their sphere of influence. And it's just, that's the way it's got to work. And you just, you know, you can't give up. You just got to keep going. If somebody else, if the first person you talk to isn't going to believe, then move on to the next person, and you just keep going. and, you know, sending out flyers and being on Facebook, all those things help. But that one-on-one personal information where you get to, they get to see your passion and your emotion about it and how it makes you feel when you realize that your child is coming home frustrated because of this 3 hours of homework for a second grader, that's crazy. And it breaks my heart when I hear things like that, because that's not fun. School's not fun when you have to do that. And so when they hear that emotion in you, parents start looking, oh, maybe I need to look into that, because that's, it gets to them, because they can relate to that. It's an emotion that they can relate to. And so you don't want it to just be about facts, even though that's what a lot of it is, but the emotion that goes along with it makes it, is very, very powerful. So
exactly. And we do, you know, we've got to get passionate about it. We've got to let people understand how dangerous this thing is.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the reasons, you know, Angela, and I'm going to say it again because this is my show and I get to. You rock. I watch you work, and I watch every day the different things that you balance between your family. And I know I made a big post about this, but it's because I'm serious. We're in a fight for our lives. We're in a fight. Right now, I'm confident that I will get my three nieces through life, to adulthood, no matter what the school district does.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they're talking about their kids and me taking care of their kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a future. And I want to know what this world is going to be like when my nieces are in their 40s and their 50s. And I worry about that on a daily basis. That's why I do everything I do. That's why I spend the time I do on Facebook. That's why I do Don Miller. That's why I do what we do here on Parental Sovereignty. That's what I did, what I do with Herman Cain. That's what I do with PEACSS, the CCS. And sometimes, you know better than anybody, Angela, sometimes I'm stretched to the end. I'm reading your, every once in a while you'll see me pop in there. You know I've been reading. But it's because the future of our generations are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked on this show with passion about Jared Markham. You know, Jared finally, over the last couple of weeks, has got some peace in his life, all because he wanted to wear a shirt that supported his First Amendment right to state his Second Amendment right.
Right.
And he won that. But Common Core wants to institutionalize that into our government,
right,
into our education system, into our local school districts. And it's a very, very serious issue. I'm going to pass it around, and I know, Angela, you said you got until about 9 o'clock.
Right.
Us crazies, we're probably going to about 10. And, you know, and I'm crazy all the way over there in Florida, where it's already a whole lot later. It is out here in California. But I want to pass it back to you. I want you to talk a little bit about the work that we do in CCS, and Parents and Educators Against Common Core in the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
The information is passed, but we've also connected with people all over the across the country. We've got a state representative in there who is in Michigan who is working his butt off, hard at Common Core, and winning, and providing us an excellent example on how to defeat Common Core.
Right.
We've got people like Stacy and Jennifer, our co-hosts, are in there. We've got almost every single state. We've got leaders that are in a separate group for leaders, and we are networked very, very well across the country.
Right.
It's been 4 months since I found out about Common Core, and a lot has happened since then.
Right.
I want to ask you, and then I'll pass it around again, and let's try and keep everybody to real quick comments and let you get in a few more words with each person on our roundtable. But what in the world, how do we take the information that's placed in there and really get these people out on the street and doing what some of our senators are doing, some of our congressmen are doing, some of our state our school board administrators are doing. So there are people all over the country in that group that are working hard on different projects. And we see that. We see a lot of supportive people helping pass information, but we see some really hard work doing. What are the things that you're seeing that is going on across the country that's winning this battle? I'm going to pass it back to you with this. The one thing that I got out of Phyllis Schlafly as I heard her speak about Common Core was this. We beat ERA. It was 34 different states that already ratified it. They were close to winning ERA.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a little kid. What are we doing right now that you see that is really, really winning this effort? How do we – there's different things that are out there. There's different things, strategies, different states are doing. What are the big things that we can do to win this fight? And then I'll pass it around to everybody else. After me, Rodney, take and run with it.
I think the thing that I find that is going to be the most important and valuable thing in doing anything with this is that we do not allow ourselves to get divided and distracted by things outside of what Common Core is about, because that's what the people want. If they have an agenda, they will do anything and everything they can to distract those who might be dissenting against them. And when we allow those things to happen, and something like the Zimmerman trial and all that stuff can be very distracting, but that's what they want. And that's one thing that I've tried really hard with my Facebook group to do, is to keep it strictly Common Core. Because that, if we allow ourselves to go into other things, we start to argue about things, and then you're not going to be able to win anything. And that's what they want, is they want us to be divisive so that we can't be united and fight it together. Because when we stand together, we're stronger. So that's one thing. The other thing is we need to remember that in all of our differences, that there is that common aspect of that we want Common Core out. So we need to look at it as a strategy of, you have this strength over here. You have this perspective, like teachers have a perspective, parents have a perspective, and you have all these other little subgroups of perspectives that may not even really, outside of Common Core, even want to associate with each other. But if we can find the differences that we have and utilize those differences to unify us in a stronger way, then we will be successful. If we allow those differences to divide us, we won't be able to do it at all. So we need to utilize each other in a way that we can have that common goal, but utilize our strengths and our differences to get to that common goal, because we're not all going to be able to do it the same way. Just like you said, you're able to utilize the internet doing that stuff. I'm kind of out in the battlefield with the school district and all of that. Some people are really great at letter writing and phone calling. All of those things are important, and they have to be utilized. So we don't want to dismiss anybody, and we don't want to exclude anybody because they may not think or feel the same way we do and have the same perspective we do. We need to find that common ground and run with the common ground and utilize our talents and our gifts that God gave us to be able to make it all work. That is so vitally important, and it's really hard for people to understand that for some reason. I'm not quite sure why, but that's my goal with the group. Find the common goal and utilize our differences to make it to that goal. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, draw me up, or?
Yeah, I'm here. So, hey, Angela, I want to say that I've got like 12 pages of notes, and this has just been absolutely amazing having you on the show tonight. And, you know, I just got to say, Scott, this is what we've been talking about for the last 3-4 weeks. It's everything starts and ends locally. I said it last week, get involved. Get out of your comfort zone. Who's running for school board in your area? Is somebody running for school board? We need good people on every ballot in every county. We need it to start immediately running up to 2014. You know, in my county, we've got conservatives control the school board. If people need help, contact me. I'll come down to your county and we'll find somebody to run. I don't care. We have to get it started, and it needs to start here in California especially, which is what's so cool about Angela being here right in the heart of Central California. If you don't get out of your comfort zone, trust me, you're going to end up extremely uncomfortable. It's not about you. It's about your children. It's about their future. It's about the future of our great country. And Angela, you made a great point. I've said this before when I was speaking. I know Eric Hogue, Hugh Hewitt, we all talk about kind of the same thing. You need to be concise when you're talking. Make your point. The number one tool the opposition will use is using your emotion against you. You start talking about something like Common Core, they fight you with blatant blanket statements that throw you off just to upset you, use your emotion against you. Next thing you know, you're talking about illegal immigrants making cheap jeans at Walmart that's destroying rural America or something. So, you know, stay on topic, stay on point. But, yeah, Angela's 100% right. Start with your church. Start with your friends. Then you start talking to everybody else you know. But do not be afraid to get out there and talk to people. It's got to be done because this message has to get out, or you're going to end up with a country that is third world 50, 60 years from now, because that's exactly what they want us to be. And, you know, I know Scott just put on Facebook, hurdles. We used to have hurdles. You want to succeed in business, get off your butt and succeed. Quit whining. You know, I had this guy on Facebook. We were discussing the Zimmerman-Martin trial, and he said some blanket statement about you rich white people out of spending all your money on private lessons for your daughter's softball and your kid's basketball coach, and you're driving your Mercedes. You should sell your Mercedes and give the money to hire these kids that are out there riding on the street. I'm like, really? That's the answer. Let's share the wealth, and these kids are out there rioting. Starbucks is hiring, dude. Don't tell me somebody can't get a job. Get out there and get off your butt and do it. And we're teaching these kids, it's okay, don't worry about it. You can go take to the street, violate everybody else's civil rights, and you have, you know, no reason to do it other than just cause trouble because you don't have a job, and that's how you're going to get hired. How about a few less tattoos? How about get off your butt and get engaged? You know, we went from computers that took up an entire warehouse to iPhone 5s because of ingenuity and because somebody put hurdles in somebody's way. You know, Edison did not invent the light bulb easily. We did not build this country easily. It takes hurdles, and it is getting over them. Every time you fall, you get back up. And I pass it to Dan.
Great. Yeah, I agree with you, Rodney. When I went to school, and as I said, I'm the old-timer of the group here, the whole way the system was designed was to get the student to think, to get them to think on their own. Today, they want to have everybody in this cookie-cutter mode where they are not allowed to think. And if we look at what we accomplished, what we're living off today are things that were invented in the 60s. People don't realize the IC, all that came through the Apollo program and, you know, the early space program. Really, we haven't taken any major leaps since then. We've been stagnated, and it began just as I was getting out of college. I thank God was still part of the old school where I used to tell people that college taught you how to think and taught you how to go out and research and find the answers. Today, that's not the case, you know, even on the college level. And we're dumbing down everybody. There's not a teacher. My stepbrother teaches at the University of Washington. And he's sitting there going, I got 3 more years until retirement. And it's sad that, you know, that we're to that point now where teachers just, you know, they're so frustrated they don't know what to do. And our opposition, and it's one of the things that drives me crazy, and Angela, you were touching base on it when you were talking about staying on point. Well, the Republican Party, or the conservative movement, they get all involved in these little battles that are not winnable, and they wonder why we lose the war. You know, if you want to distract a conservative, mention abortion, mention gay rights. Next thing you know, they're off and running on, you know, these tangents. Well, you know something? We're going to solve all these problems if we go back to our origins. If we go back to what our founding fathers had originated, you know, what they believed in, placing God as the center and the Constitution. And if we return to those fundamental principles, everything else works itself out. You know, all of a sudden the gay right thing, as morality starts changing and things like that, it's kind of going to go by the wayside. You know, abortions, if we get more people in the church, that's going to change. But we have to go back to our origins. And the same thing with Common Core. Jennifer was asking earlier, you know, what should we do? And to be honest, if you go back to where we were, you know, where I was when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, where they taught you how to learn, that's the whole key behind it. I mean, if you look at my granddaughter comes over here and she goes, "Papa, why do you have so many books?" I have sitting in my living room, I have four bookshelves full of books. And she goes, "Have you read all of them?" And it's like, "Yeah." And she's amazed. And so I decided to just start posting some books I've read, and I got tired after 150 of them. And I tell her that, you know, what I've learned in my life, most of it was learned on my own. You know, when I got out of college, that was only the beginning. And since then, you know, I've probably read 4,000 or 5,000 books over the years. I know that back in the mid-80s, I donated over 2,000 books to the local public library. So, I mean, and I keep on reading to this day. Kids don't do that today. We need to get teachers involved. We need to get parents involved. When I go out, as I said, you know, Rodney knows and Scott knows, I'm medically very limited on what I can do. But I'll bring my car down to the car wash. I'll see this, you know, young guy, and, you know, you look at him in the car seat and you know he's a family man, start talking to him. I can't reach a lot of people, but you know something? You place that little seed on Common Core and tell them what's going on, and all of a sudden, you know, in that 20 minutes that I've had to talk to him, now the guy's going to go out and hopefully research it and find out for themselves. You know, we got to get out there on the streets, spread the word, stay focused, and if we don't do that, we'll never make any changes. You know, as conservatives, we need to stay focused, get people to our origins, get, you know, back to the basics, and then everything else can, you know, work itself out. I really believe that. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Stacy.
Thanks, Dan. I want to touch on part of the basics that bother me a whole lot, and it's this society, this growing society of fairness and share, and that irks me in a way that nothing else does. When I was in school, my biggest goal and biggest dream was being valedictorian, and everything that I did in high school was to reach that goal. I wanted to be the number one graduate out of my class of 400, and I worked my tail off. I skipped functions with friends. I made sacrifices to do this, and had there not been that goal, I wouldn't have done all the things and learned all the things that I did in high school, and I would have had nothing, no purpose to work for. The year I graduated, the school implemented the practice of having the top 10% of students in the class be called valedictorian. And when that happened a decade ago, I was crushed because that is not fair to me who worked my tail off, because I could have worked 10% less and done, you know, 10% less homework and whatever to have been called the same thing as however many other students. And so as I've grown and learned about fairness and what it means and see people talk about fair, I think about Scott and his hurdles, and I just love to talk about hurdles with Scott because it's so on point. Kids are not born with an idea of fairness and fair share and everybody should get the fair shake. Kids are born with a competitive spirit, and our society is trying to rewire them to believe that everyone deserves a trophy, and that just does not promote ingenuity, and we need to get that back in our schools. I've told the story 1,000 times, but when my son was at his very first fall festival at school and he was playing games, after we were about halfway through the games, he looked up at me and he said, at 5 years old, "Mommy, why do I get a prize if I lose?" And it's impossible for me as a mother to explain to a child why they get rewarded the same way that someone who did better than them did, when they know in their heart that they don't deserve it. And I think that that's an essential basic that needs to return to the school, is this idea of fairness being everybody gets the same thing. Fairness is everybody gets what they work for. In my house, fair is almost turned into a dirty word, and my kids know if they say it, they're going to get an ugly look. Because in a house with a single mother and three kids, things aren't going to seem fair to them. I'm doing things for their best interest. Not one single one of them is the same child, and it's the same way in a school. Not one child is the same. Not one child learns the same. And it's not fair to the kids who have learning disabilities that we expect them to learn on the same level as a child who is especially gifted in learning. It's not fair to either of them, but we're teaching them that it is. And it's just completely backwards. There's no morals, yes, but just the basics of competition, to me, in a generation, is just going to destroy business, because kids are going to have been raised not to compete. Jennifer?
Let me pass it back to Angela, because I know she's got to head out here in about 8 minutes. I want to pass it back to you, Angela, to give your final remarks. You fight this, and I'm going to say it one more time, because I mean it. You fight hard in this battle. There's a lot of people out there who spread information. I spread information. There's a difference between getting on the ground and really, really making a difference. You know better than anybody how difficult it is for a teacher or an administrator or somebody in the school system to fight out against Common Core. How does the regular person on Facebook, how do they get out and or on Twitter or anywhere else for Blog Talk Radio, we're talking to people that have never even seen Facebook or Twitter. How do they get out and really, really make a difference in their school district? What's working for you? We've talked about a few things that are big hitters. I believe a big hitter is the fact that the teachers have been told to keep their mouths shut. I think a big hitter is the fact that there was a lot of money involved in this that was blatant bribery. I think a big hitter in this is that we know that a big government, a big system, don't even call it big government, a big system, a bureaucracy, has a real hard time with not having a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. And how do they get down there? How does the guy that's just sitting on the radio tonight, listening to Blog Talk Radio on the Internet, how do they get out tomorrow and make a difference?
Well, first of all, if they're not computer savvy, Twitter savvy, all of those kind of things, handwritten letters are still allowed in this country. We do still have a post office, and they will deliver. And making phone calls to your elected representatives to let them know that you're concerned about Common Core is very important to do, because one of the things that I have found is that parents in particular do not understand the power that they do have. When we sit in those school board meetings and we are making decisions and we don't have parents there to voice their concerns, either in the meeting themselves or they have not emailed us or called us, we don't know what their concerns are. We can't take, in my case, my 5,000 plus families in our district and know what those parents, their concerns are. So even if it's just writing an email, a letter, or a phone call is a huge thing that you can do to your elected officials. Now, I wouldn't necessarily bother with this with your federal congressmen and senators and things like that, because they're not going to be able to do much, because this has to be tackled on a state level. It was implemented through the back door into the states, but the state legislators are the ones that are going to have to do something to stop it. So making sure your school board members know that you're concerned and you're not happy, educating them on it if they don't know, because a lot of them still don't know. Writing a letter to a teacher and letting them know, because they may not say anything, that you are concerned and you hope that they will know that you support them in if they're concerned about it as well. They need to know that they have support. Then writing to our state legislators and letting them know, whether it's writing or phone calling or whatever. Watching. If people can go to the State Board of Education's meetings that they have, and in California, it is every 3 months they have them. If you can go and sit in those meetings, watch on the website for what agenda items they have. Go and speak out against Common Core. That may not be an easy thing for anybody to do, but like Rodney says, get out of your comfort zone. Those are the kind of things you need to do, because the State Board of Education is making decisions about our education in the state of California, and there is nobody showing up to those meetings. And so those are the kind of things. If you have your state representatives that are having town hall meetings, go and speak to them personally and find out what their stance is on Common Core, and then tell them how you feel about it. Get together with like-minded people, if it's a Tea Party group or anybody else, and work with them. Get on the Facebook page. When you have people that feel the same way you do, it makes it so much easier to be able to do those things that seem hard when you have people rooting you on. And that's one of the things that I love about our Facebook page, is that because we all are working hard and wanting to get rid of this, that we can be a support group to each other. And so, you know, you come on and you can say, "Hi, my name is Angela, and I'm against Common Core. Hi, Angela." You know, it sounds kind of silly, but that's the kind of thing you need. You need to have that support. And that's one thing that I prayed about when I first started in this fight, is I told God that I needed at least one other mom in this state to help me, because that's the way it was being successful in some of the other states, is that it was a couple of or three moms that were working together really hard that made things happen, because when the mama bears are mad, they get things done. And so And it turns out that I ended up with a lot more than that. I've got papa bears and mama bears and everybody in between. And so it makes it just that much easier to do what needs to be done. So, you know, even if it's Angela, a small little...
And let everybody know that if you're online and you're listening, we're getting ready to go to the top of the last hour, and we always know this crazy bunch, and we love to talk, so we keep going past that third hour. Let me tell you, you've got to call in at 347-205-9620. The internet connection will cut off, and archive, if you're listening in archive, this won't even affect you. But if you're listening online right now, call in at 347-205-9620. Before the top of the hour, and you can listen in to the rest of the show. And I'll hand it back to you, Angela, and finish your thought.
Okay. So just even the smallest things can be helpful. And just don't ever think that there's nothing you can do, because there is. There's little things you can do, and lots of little things build up to make one big thing. And never give up hope. Just keep, if you're a praying person, pray for Common Core to be stopped, because in my mind, the only way it will actually really be stopped is because God will make it happen, and he needs to know that there's enough of us that want it to be stopped as well, and he'll help us if we are willing to do what it takes, if we're willing to listen and follow those promptings and intuitions that he will give us on what to do, because that's what I ended up doing, and that's how I got to this point. And so those are the kind of things that you can do to make a difference. And every little bit helps. It doesn't have to be a big thing. So anyway, get out there and just do something.
And that's right. And you know what? That's what our little group is about. And you know, when you're talking about a population of over 300 million people in the United States, 5,000 people doesn't sound like a lot.
Yeah.
But it's 5,000 active people. And we have talked on this program, and Dan and Jennifer and Stacy and Rodney all understand what I'm about ready to say. The conservatives have been sitting on their couches since Ronald Reagan was elected. And the left has been, they've been energized, and they've been working, and they've been by little baby steps getting us to Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to wake up. And Angela, I thank you. I'm so glad you came on the show. We talked about this show since the first day I met you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have you finally on the show. You mean a lot to me, and I mean that. Let me tell you, America, get on and go. All you got to do is go to Facebook and search Parents and Educators Against Common Core. And Angela has gathered a group, and I'm in about four or five different groups. I'll tell you, Angela, every time you guys talk about BAT, I have no clue as to who you're talking about, because I haven't even had time to go there. But there are groups.
They're a hardcore group. You may not want to go there first.
Right. There are some good groups out there. And let me tell you, go to Parents and Educators Against Common Core if you want to get information. If you want to be a troll, go there, and we'll try and filter you out. That's the way it goes. But there's a lot of information that goes there. And you're doing a great work. You're working really, really hard, and I'm not gonna go on my rant like I went last week on in the group. I promise, Angela. But you work hard. Amy works hard. Jennifer works hard. Diane works hard. Laura works hard. I sit back and try and help you when I can, because I'm spread too thin anyways. But you guys are working hard on making sure that every person knows in this country what Common Core is about. Angela, if you would have listened, if you'd been on the show last week, one of the things you would have heard was my World Book Encyclopedia rant. When I was in the 90s, Angela, I sold World Book Encyclopedia. And one of the selling points of World Book Encyclopedia is it is written, and you know this, you're an educator, it's written at the language of which somebody studies a subject. So when you take the animal article, it starts at a kindergarten reading level, and as you read through the article, it works its way up to language level, to the college level, where you learn about phylums and everything else that goes along with all of that. If we wanted to sit down and make a common curriculum, and I think there's a reason to have everybody on the same page. I believe that. It would be a very simple 12-page book of one grade per page. And I can tell you the basics that really should be taught in the first grade, in the second grade, in the third grade. I can hand that out in a 12-page book. I know it because in the 90s, I used one to sell World Book Encyclopedia. I knew what they were learning in the third grade. I knew what they were learning in the fourth grade. The biggest argument out there for Common Core is we need to have everybody on the same page. We're already there. We've been there for a long time. In the eighth grade, all across the nation, you generally have a test on the Constitution. In the seventh grade, you start to learn the basics of algebra. I can, within 12 pages, give you a list of what a common curriculum should be. I don't have to uproot the whole system in order to get a common curriculum for everybody. Like I said last week, just every classroom, just order a set of World Book Encyclopedia. I haven't sold them since 96, but I'll still tell you, go buy a set. They're the best encyclopedia that's out there. But we don't have to uproot the whole system from the Common Core curriculum. A common curriculum between everybody would be a basics, with, like you said earlier, the importance of the teacher to be able to sit down and teach what's in their heart. And I want to thank you. You work hard. I know how hard you work. I know how important this last vacation that you had was, where it was not a vacation. My grandparents were the caretakers at Yosemite Bible Camp up in Oakhurst. I know how much vacation you got working at Bible Camp. And we've laughed and we joked about it, but you went on vacation all week. Yeah, right, in the kitchen 24 hours a day working on food for kids. You work hard, and I'm proud of you. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I thank you so much for having dialogue with all of us all across the country, and I thank you so much for your work. And I'm going to hand it back to you to let you give your closing remarks. I know it's past 9 o'clock, but you should have known by now that I would keep you past 9 o'clock if I had any way possible. So I'm going to pass it back to you, say closing remarks, and then we'll start passing around the table for the last hour.
Well, I just want to say thank you very much for allowing me to come and talk about it. As it's quite obvious, I'm very passionate, and I feel very strongly that this topic is important, and I know everybody has something that they're passionate about. But I just know that our children are our future, and if we don't take care of them and their education and make sure that they get what they need, not what somebody thinks they need, then we will lose. We will lose what we have that is so precious in our country, and that's the freedoms that we enjoy. And it's not just a matter of losing out on material things. It's the freedoms that we have. And if we continue to let somebody like the government tell us how to raise our children and how to educate them, they will turn them into what they want instead of allowing us to be who we want. And that's not the plan. That's not the plan that God gave us. And we need to make sure that we preserve that for our future and for our children. And so it's more important than just about anything else other than my testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's probably more important than my children. And so I encourage everybody to not give up, to find somebody to be your mentor if you're still learning about this, and find somebody to fight the fight with you, because it makes it that much easier. And keep praying, because that's how it'll actually get done, is with God's will. So anyway, thank you very much.
Well, and I thank you so much, Angela, and I'm going to say one more time, you rock. Let me tell you, go to Facebook, go search Parents and Educators Against Common Core, and you will find a group that is working really, really hard. And there's not 5,000 people in there that's working their butts off, but there is a significant number of those. And Rock knows what I mean when I say this. I've worked in some groups. We had some fun and with Herman Cain and Jennifer Knows and Don Chamberlain. Oh my goodness, we've had some fun. But I've got two groups right now that are connected to me that are working harder than anything, and that's our group, your group, Parents and Educators Against Common Core, and the Free Don Miller Group. I have not seen as much action on a daily basis for a long time, except for somebody else's group, and that's Rodney Stanhope's group. He's got a group that I sat and was a participant in and helped when I could again this last summer. Rodney is all up and down the state. And I'll tell you, Rodney said a mouthful that isn't a mouthful because we hear it all the time, but it is a mouthful. It's got to go local. It's got to go local. We can't fight Common Core. We're doing a great job. Angela, we're doing a great, great job. We've got a bunch of people that on the national scale are working hard. But until you bring it down to the local level, it will never work, no matter how much excitement you've got on the national level. And
right.
Rodney knows this, and Rodney has done this more than – I'm going to ask this of everybody who's out there. How many people do I know in California? Not very many, and two of the most of them are in this room. I know people all over Alabama, all over Texas. I on a daily basis, I communicate with all these people. Rodney, I'll tell you, he's trying to get me to come back over here to California and put a little effort in. I'm ready to walk. We're going to Texas. But, Rodney, you're working so hard. You've written over this show, you just told me, 12 pages of notes. Because you're a thinker. What we got right here, Rodney? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it in California?
How are we going to do it? We're going to, like, we've been talking about it the entire night, the last 5 weeks. Every time I'm on the show, every time I travel around the state of California and go anywhere, I talk about starting local, you know. And if you want something that will get you inspired to do it, I got news for you. Think of your kids. Think of when you were in school. Music, band, choir, drama, debate club, FFA, 4-H, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, football, track, swim team, cheer, baseball. It doesn't matter. Every single one of them have one thing. Success. Sell cookies. Sell candy bars. Hit a home run. Score the touchdown. The applause as your performance ends on stage, it drives you to be a better person. And when you fall down, you get back up. That will all go away. And by the time you decide, I want to get involved, because it's gone, it's too late. Get involved now. I challenge every person on the show, whatever county you're in, whatever school district you're in, find out who's running for school board, who's planning on running for school board, and start talking to people. Get on their campaign and get these people elected. And if you don't have someone running, I'll help you run your own campaign. You run. Get out of your comfort zone, and we've got to take back the state. It can't happen from the top down. It has to happen from the grassroots levels. And, you know, Scott, you're talking about wanting to travel all over the state, you know, and with the group when I ran for vice chairman, we call it the worker bees. There's the people out there that are currently running our system. They have an attitude and ego, and they're in it for themselves. And they are taking over. And then you've got us that will do the work. We need more people to get out there with us and do the work. We need more worker bees. So with that, I will pass it to Dan.
I'm going to actually say goodnight before you pass it on. So thank you again, and you guys continue to your discussion, and it was great. Thank you again for letting me rant, go on and on about Common Core. So,
thank you, Angela.
All right. You guys
thank
take
you,
care,
Angela.
And maybe we'll talk again in the future.
Definitely.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rodney. You know, we have to start at the local level, the local school boards. Get out there, find the conservatives, the people who will stand for what we believe and what who are willing to fight Common Core. And we need the parents involved. And yes, our children need to know what failure is. You know, we were talking about special education early on. And what was funny is that I was a late, what they call a late learner. I started, you know, even though I had, was raised in an academic family and everything, it took me a little while to boot up, I guess, for lack of any other word. But by the third grade, I was, you know, right up to standard. But in this day and age, they would have tossed me aside. And I never would have been able to achieve what I ended up achieving. I was taught to fight, to be competitive. Age 8, I was racing sailboats. By 12, I was racing with the University of Rhode Island sailing team against college, you know, college-age kids. By age 14, I was in racing on the fastest boat, the hottest boat in Newport, Rhode Island, which is, that's the home of the America's Cup, the greatest sailors in the world. And we were on, I was one of the crew members on the boat that won the Bay Championship 3 years in a row. It was a competitive nature, and on top of that, I played football, track, and wrestling. I was academically involved. I was, you know, Spanish club. I was involved in everything. But that's how I was taught, and that's how I was raised. And what it did is it prepared me for life. I didn't always succeed. I fell flat on my fell more than I succeeded. But in the end, you know, now I'm half a century later, I look back at my life and, you know, I can say I'm proud. You know, I had my share of scrapes and bruises along the way. But overall, I can look back and say, you know something, I did a pretty good job. And these kids today are not being prepared. They don't understand what failure is. They don't understand what it's like to sit down there, look at those bruised knees, get up and, you know, start over again and keep going. I don't know if any of you know the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. If you don't, I recommend every parent and everybody look that poem up. I'll put it on my webpage, on my homepage tomorrow, and I welcome anybody to go look at it. It's a wonderful poem about what it's like to grow up, to be a man, to sit down there. And one of the verses was, to bet everything you have on one toss of the dice and lose. And to bend down with worn-out tools, never breathing a word of your loss, and start rebuilding. And this is what kids need to know. They need to know that failure is part of life. We can't succeed all the time. That's not life. They say, what's fair? Well, you know something? Life is never fair. Nobody said life was fair. The only thing, I mean, where God gave us the tools and he gave us free will. And part of the educational experience needs to be to know how to fail and pick yourself up and keep going. Nothing's wrong. As a matter of fact, if you don't fail, you aren't trying. And children are not being taught that lesson. And it's so sad that, you know, we're doing such a disservice to our children. And this Common Core crap is at the center of it. You know, it's the child goes in, and if they don't fit into that little square peg that they have built for us, then you're tossed aside. Well, I don't want to have a bunch of little robots running around trying to run our country and being chosen what job they're going to be doing at in first grade. That's a crock of baloney. If we, you know, Albert Einstein flunked math. And you know something? If this Common Core crap was in there, we wouldn't have the theory of relativity. I mean, this is how stupid Common Core is. And yet, there's something we got to stand up against this. And yes, we need to scream out from the highest mountain and let people know. We need more people involved. If I was told I was going to be doing what I'm doing today 2 years ago, I would have told you you were nuts. I was looking forward to a nice, quiet retirement. I'm not a big person on, you know, with 100 million friends, and I'm not a social butterfly. I tend to be, I like, you know, Barb and I and our dog, and after that, and family, and after that, I care less. But I saw where our nation was going, and I couldn't sit back in all good conscience and let it happen. Not without, I'm a fighter, and that's why I'm in the trenches with everybody else, and I'm, you know, just like the rest of you. And it's because we believe in what we're doing, and we need more people. We need to draft more into the trenches. And the more people we get involved here, the better our chances are. Eventually, our numbers alone can beat out the system. And if we don't get that, and if we don't unite as one, we can't succeed at it. And this is why I try to tell on my homepage, and I do a post every day, and I spread it throughout 20 other pages I'm a member of, and trying to get people involved so we can take care of issues like Common Core and get the conservative movement united as one. And with that, I'll pass it over to Stacey.
I just want to say, Dan, that as a young mother and a young American, I appreciate that the fight that you give for the next generation. I don't think people my age and me even stop enough to appreciate not just the veterans who have given their lives and their duty, which is great to stop and reflect on, but people who are involved in small ways that have great impact like you are, I want to say thank you. And I feel the same way that you do. I don't really have time. It's not convenient, I'll say, to be fighting this hard. And it's not necessarily good for my health to get so wound up like I do, but that's just the type of person I am. But it matters. It matters because it could all slip away in one generation if we're just complacent. And earlier you were talking about books, and I feel that it's important for us as parents to introduce books to our children and encourage them to develop a love for reading and not depend on the school to do that. We send our children to school and we expect them to learn, and we sometimes very easily get caught up in the extracurriculars and what's for dinner and sitting on the couch and relaxing and just work and all the really hard parts of life. And we forget that it's our job as parents to be responsible for what our children are learning and what they take home at the end of the day. I sometimes get really frustrated with Common Core and the aspect of I can't believe that the teachers are okay with this, and I come back around and say, they have been given the right to teach my child because I give them the right to do that, because I send my child there. So really the responsibility is on us, and I think that that's probably how I'm able to stay in the fight so hardcore, is because it is my responsibility to keep what I see as civil servants in check. To me, that they're working for us. They're using our tax dollars as their paychecks. And if we don't give them the authority to do something, they don't have it. And so Rodney talks about people running for school board and running for local office and how important it is. And we talk a big game, but until we get out there and help somebody do that and replace them, things will just keep on as they are, and that's unacceptable at this point. And as I always close each week, and I was so excited that Angela pointed on or touched on it tonight about how God is going to be the one that can save us from all this. And we sometimes lose track of how a God that's big enough to create a universe is big enough to conquer things like this, that in the aspect of creating a universe, this is nothing. And so that's how I have to remind myself on a daily basis to bring it back home. Jennifer, Scott?
Jennifer? I think we're having a problem with Jennifer. Dan? You there, Jennifer?
I didn't realize that. They had me on mute.
You're not on mute.
Yeah. Yes. Hello?
No, we can hear you.
Good. I am finding it disturbing how Common Core message, how it's being, marketed, how it's being distributed. I just want to encourage everyone to do their own homework and do their own research. And also, when somebody comes out in saying that they represent or they're a spokesperson for this or that, double check and see exactly who this person is and what do they really stand for. Do the checks and balances. Find out exactly what it is. And then decide for yourself, is this something that I want or not? For you personally. And then once you've made your personal decision between you and God and the fence post, then you can go out and do everything you can to act on the decision that you made. And I believe that in order for us to take back this nation, it's going to be a grassroots effort. And it's going to take each and every one of us getting out there and willing to engage, interacting and impacting in our communities. Like Douglas did as a runaway slave, he was interacted and impacted with 5 U.S. presidents. He was able to do it to the point to where he was able to convince Lincoln to have a different stance on slavery. And as you see, the end result was slavery was abolished. And so with that, I'm going to pass it on over to Stacy.
Thanks, Jennifer. Scott, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'll run from here. You know what? We've had a good show tonight. Some really, really important thoughts. And they all keep going back to going local. Jennifer, you know how I feel about Frederick Douglass and what's going on in Alabama. I had a conversation with somebody that's involved with Matt Jenkins in the work that he's doing in Alabama this last week. And I made the comment that you pointed out 2 years ago that you really, really thought that the fight back for our country could start in Alabama. And I ran with that. I'm still saying to this day, it's starting in Alabama. There is some stuff going on in Alabama. Matt Jenkins has got some stuff that's running hard. Kay Carl's got some stuff that's running hard. We've had some good candidates with not enough support. If we had a Rodney Stanhope out in Alabama helping to organize the grassroots, we would have really gotten somewhere. I've got three kids all of a sudden sitting here in front of me. Go on inside, kids. Go, but say hello real quick.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
They're always waiting about this time and for me to get off this phone and start spending some time with them. The youngest one is sitting here waiting about 2 hours past her bedtime, which is all right. Go in there and relax, or you might go to bed. But it's important. The local thing is important. We have got to start doing, every state's got to start doing what Alabama's doing. I said this yesterday in the midst of a lot of craziness. Alabama is writing the book on Common Core. Jonathan Barbee has got a group of people, and they're writing a book, literally, folks, writing a book on Common Core, so that other states know how to fight this battle. If you've noticed the last couple of hours, I keep asking the same question. What do we do? What do we do to fight this battle? You know, Dan, I'm so glad that you brought up Rudyard Kipling. Kipling, I can't even say it. The night has gone on, let me tell you. It's been a long week. I have never read the poem If. And if you don't know who Rudyard Kipling is, he's the guy that wrote the Jungle Book. You know, the Disney story, the Jungle Book, and a lot of other things. You know, Gunga Din. I can't talk. A lot of different things, but he's a great writer. But I want you to read. I want you to listen as I read what Dan brought up. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men about you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or be lied about, and don't deal in lies, oh, and that card, Kate Carl and Frederick Douglass Republicans, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, or talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build with worn-out tools, you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and loss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your long after, I'm sorry, to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will that says to them, hold on. I could read the rest. There's one more verse. I don't want to do that. I want you guys to look it up, because that's a beautiful poem about jumping hurdles. And, you know, thank you, Stacy, because you made me cry when you posted what you posted on my Facebook page. I had never made my girls get out and jump physical hurdles. Yesterday, I took the cushions off the couch and laid them in the floor and made them jump their hurdles. and describe them out. We're growing as a group. And we have to fight this battle. I've been a little bit emotional tonight because I'm going to tell you, folks, the guy standing here who every week starts the show, who pushes the button, sits here every day of the week, all day, every day, and worries about what 2040 is going to be like, 2030, 2060. I worry about the technology that we've got. I worry about our inability to get local, to fight our battles. I worry about Common Core winning the battle and being in our schools in 20 years and being a part of it. I worry about Obamacare controlling everything we do. I worry about when I go to the doctor with my girls and the doctor hands me the slip to take back to the school to let them know they've been at the doctor, even though nobody called them and said we need a permission slip. I worry about these things. And we fought another step of the battle tonight. We talked about a group of people, and I'm going to tell you, Angela is one of my favorite people in the world. She's working hard. Everybody on this show knows how I am. When you're working hard, when you're getting out on the trenches, I'm going to say this is a person that's picking up a shovel and digging. We have got to get back to the concept of what Rudyard Kipling said in If. We got to get back to jumping hurdles. We got to get back to not worrying about how big it is, how difficult it is, how stupid it is, and get in and jump hurdles. And I'm going to pass it around again for everybody to talk. I'm going to tell you, it's been a long week for this boy. But when I get to the end of the week, I know. Actually, it's been a long 2 weeks. Some of us, I say that on the air, and everybody is talking with me more than understands what I'm talking about. But it's been a long 2 weeks. But you know what? When we got to the end of it, I'm going to tell you something. My little Millie that was pushed to her end, my middle girl, jumped her hurdle. And I'm so proud of her. And my oldest girl today, I had to sit down and lay out to her what's been going on the last 2 weeks, and she got it. And she says, Uncle, I'm going to jump my hurdle. You know, a few weeks back, while homeschooling them, I asked them a question about Frederick Douglass, and one of the girls said, K. Carl Smith. It was Millie. She doesn't know the difference between K. Carl and a historical figure because she's only 7 years old and she hears me talking about both. She hears me talking about Abraham Lincoln. She hears me talking about Ronald Reagan. She hears me talking about Madison and Hamilton and the summer of 1787. She hears me talk about Rodney Stanhope and Stacey Talbert and Jennifer Montrose and Dan Wilson. And she hears me talking about our Common Core group. And she hears me, they get a real view vision of me fighting every day for their future. And I'm proud. I'm proud. She doesn't know the difference between the historical figure. You know, they used to use Herman Cain a lot. If I asked him, was that, it's Herman Cain. I'm glad that they hear that. I'm glad that they're proud of that. We're jumping hurdles, folks. I'm going to pass it around the room again. But I'm proud of our little family here. I am proud of where we're going in this show. I'm proud of this blog. And as we continue to go forward, we're going to keep on keeping on. You know, we started out with a song, This Is God's Country, by another patriot, the rock country that works hard. There's a lot of patriots, and this show represents that. Next time, Rodney, that you're at the California State Fair, we're going to plan this. We're going to plan a California Fair. We're going to do this right. Let me tell you, you're broadcasting from the California State Fair. You've gone through 3 cell phones right now to hang on to this show. I'm so proud of you, my friend, and I'm so glad you're out in California. You know, take us on out. You go from here. Let's talk about what you want to talk about.
Okay, great. You know, I'm just glad to be part of the team, Scott. You know, I love you guys like family, and I truly believe that we can make a difference. And I'm no longer at the paper, actually. I'm taking my wife to dinner at the Olive Garden right now. So, but thank God for technology, because I am on my third phone. But you guys were talking earlier about hurdles, and I know we love to talk about hurdles. And you were talking about different things to read, and Dan mentioned a book. I want to mention one, too. Who Moved My Cheese by Dr. Spencer Johnson. It actually takes place with two scenarios with two individuals called Him and Haw. And they get into a routine. They're in a maze. And the owners of the maze give them cheese every day. And they've set the time they get the cheese, and they get in a routine. They move their cheese. And then one wants to go ahead, let's go look for more cheese. The other one has a victim mentality and just wants to whine and complain and not move on. And, you know, they have, in the book, he has some great captions. It's change happens. They keep moving your cheese. Anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move. Monitor change. Know when the cheese smells bad. Adapt to change quickly. Move on. Change, move with the cheese. Enjoy change. And that brings up my favorite thing is, you know, attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching? You can whine and snivel and complain about it. Get over the hurdle. You need to move on. Life's not fair. We cannot teach these children that it's okay to fail. It's okay not to try and succeed. It's not okay to just live your life as an average individual. It's okay if that's the best you can do, but try. And if you fall down, get back up and keep moving on. You know, like we talked earlier with all the different sports and schools and choir and band and all these programs, if they go away, what are our kids learning? You know, you watch TV, and I don't even care, God forbid, bad reality TV like Big Brother and all these things like that. Even those bad shows, they still have somebody trying to win something and someone trying to figure out how to win. And whether it's for right or for wrong, change happens, move on, and we need to teach these kids those hurdles. Like I told the story last week. I was 12 years old. My dad said, you want a candy bar? Go earn it. Looked at a lady standing out front sweeping her sidewalk. I said, I'll sweep your sidewalk for a quarter because I wanted to get a candy bar. They're whining and sniveling and complaining. Trust me, with my parents, was not going to get me anywhere. So I chose to follow the cheese. I went to the sidewalk lady, and I swept her sidewalk for a quarter. I went in back in, and I bought myself a Three Musketeer bar. That's what you do. So we need to keep preaching the message. For the folks listening in, get outside your comfort zone. Like, you know, I want to have some of these people call in, call our show, and tell us, what are you doing? What are you involved in? Which campaign are you helping? Are you looking for a school board person? Where do you live? We want to hear from you, too. But we want to know that you're doing something. Because, Scott, you mentioned earlier, America has sat on their butt since Reagan, and they've done nothing, and now it's coming back around. And by the time you get upset and pissed off and want to get involved, it's too late because the change has already happened. Your cheese is gone. So with that, I pass it to Dan or whoever's yep. next.
Great. Thanks a lot, Rod. And Scott, thanks for reading. If it's a poem that what my dad read to me when I was just a little tyke back in like 63, and it's been a model for me for my entire life, and I've tried to live up to that, and it's a difficult thing to live up to, but it served me well. And since we've been talking about overcoming hurdles and giving to your country, there's one more book I'm going to suggest every person, every American actually needs to read this book. It's the biography of Colonel John Boyd, B as in boy, O-Y-D. Now, John Boyd, probably nobody's heard of, yet he took on the Pentagon by himself. He was a colonel coming up. He totally revamped how the military actually works. The F-16 comes from his energy theory. He was a fighter pilot in Korea, and when he was asked to sell out to the system and start going along with everybody else, he said, no, I'm going to be a consultant. And they said, oh, you know, we'll pay you, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 a year. He goes, no. He goes, I'm doing it for free. And this man took on the Pentagon. He got paid $1 a year because the federal government had to pay him. He sacrificed everything. He never owned a house. He gave and gave and gave to his country his entire career. He, during the first Gulf War, that end around that General Schwarzkopf took credit for was developed by John Boyd. This guy was incredible, and he sacrificed his entire life. To the day he died, he gave to his country. And he had his wife stuck by him every step of the way. He's buried at Arlington National Cemetery. You can look him up next time you're there. But if you want to know what it's like to be a true patriot and what it's what people actually have done, the Pentagon hated him. If you ever watched the movie Pentagon Wars, that was about the building of the Bradley fighting vehicle with Kelsey Grammer in it. That is one of Boyd's followers. He was a brilliant man who gave to his country his entire life. And if we look back at our forefathers, you look at Frederick Douglass, you look at Abraham Lincoln, you look at John Adams, Washington, all our founding fathers, they gave everything. They gave every single thing they had for their belief. They believed in God. They believed in God and country, the two most important things. And in that order, God and country. I'm here fighting this war. By the time it's over, I'm probably going to be long gone. But you know something? I'm fighting this war not for me. I'm fighting it for my granddaughter and her granddaughter afterwards. This is why we have to be here. This is why, and if I can do it, everybody can. I mean, I have gone over, you know, my disability on the air before. I don't want to repeat that, but if I can do it, if Boyd can do it, if Adams can do it, you know, these men, they were men of means, a lot of these of our forefathers. They could have sat back and lived a very, very comfortable life and never had a problem. But they had a belief. They had a belief in this nation. They had a belief in this ideal. And it was such, it was a passion that drove them. The signers of the Declaration of Independence, they lost everything. Yes, they were men of means. And they sacrificed every single thing they had. Four of them died in the Revolution. 10 had their children die in the Revolution. Most, all of them had their houses burned and ransacked. They don't teach that in school today. But this is reality. And this is what formed our country. We had people from the very beginning, in 1628, Roger Williams set up Providence Plantations because he believed in freedom and of religion. And he believed in separation of church and state. These are our foundations. This is where our country came from. And we're having these people today in Washington who don't want to tell the truth. They don't want to show where we came from. I am proud of where we came from. You know, they try to separate us with race. The teacher I was talking to you about, he's black. I never even think about his color. But you know something? He's the salt of the earth, a great friend of mine. You know, Wayne Dupree, he's a fellow preacher and a good friend of mine. And, you know, I'm proud to say, you know, I'm going to stand right next to these people, and I'm going to be arm-in-arm with them, just like I'm going to be arm-in-arm with my Jewish brothers, my Baptists, every religion, whatever. They're all my brothers and sisters. We're all united under that beautiful flag, the 13 star stripes indicating the 13 colonies, you know, the 50 stars saying that we're, each state is a sovereign state, but we're united under one flag. This is what we are as a nation. And we have to begin at the, as you all said, we have to begin at the local level, get the state sovereignty back, get our rights back, get the federal government out of their, you know, out of the state's business. Get rid of this Common Core baloney and get out of the UN, and then we can start solving some problems. And, well, I'm done lecturing right now, so I'll pass it over to Stacy.
Thanks, Dan. I got called a couple weeks ago being cut off by our third hour time, so I'm going to try to keep it short and just end by saying it was such a cool show tonight, having Angela on and experiencing and getting to hear her experiences of being on the front lines of a school board and fighting the fight she is, and the things that she's gotten to see through that Facebook page, and the places that it's taken her from the grassroots. It kind of reminds me of Becky Garrison from the Wetumpka Tea Party in Congress, and the places that we find ourselves as common Americans just doing what we feel is best for our children, and what is best for our children is liberty. And there's no question about that. Is less government, and Common Core is like the definition of big government. And I feel like in the past 9 months, I guess I've been fighting this fight, I've aged 5 years, and I'm think that by the time we're all done with this fight and we look up, we're going to probably look like we're 10 years older just from how much we're all go, 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 go right now because we care so much. And I don't think I'm going to regret a single one of those wrinkles, because I believe we're going to win this fight because it's our hurdle and it's the cross that we've chosen to bear. And I am so happy to be with all of you guys doing what we're doing for our country. And I'm going to pass it to Jennifer, if you're still there, or Scott.
Jennifer's dropped. We worked until late hours. See, Rodney and I have so much fun out here because what is it? It's not even 10 o'clock out here. But you guys back east, you're working into the midnight, early morning hours, and I thank you guys for that. Jennifer lasted longer tonight than she normally lasts, actually. She, you know, she got to get kids to bed, and she got to do just certain things by the end of the evening. And taking a couple, 3 hours out of her night is very not easy sometimes, like all of us. And I do. We're at the top of the hour. This is the part where I talk about what other shows are going on and other things, but I'm going to talk about our show tonight. This is passion, and Angela kept saying the word passion. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, you know, Jennifer and Stacy are in the group that I'm talking about. Parents and Educators Against Common Core spreads a lot of information every day. And sometimes the people that are in there are rude, to flat out say it. They don't know any better than to cuss in the middle of the grocery store line, as I'd like to say it. But we're in a fight for our lives. Not for me and for Rodney and Dan. You know, we're all in the same age bracket. You know how it goes. Stacy and Angela, they're they're in a younger age bracket. They've got, you know, a good 30, 40, 50 years left. We're getting close to, well, I know I'm the youngest of the three, of me and Dan and Rodney, and I know that I'm middle-aged. I'm working on the other side. So it isn't easy because we've got people looking forward to the future of this place. And I've always been so proud to say this is the greatest country in the world. We've provided so much freedom, and we've provided so much help to the world because of the great things. And, you know, if I were a guy on the left, I'd say, well, yeah, but what about the big corporations that are raping America? Well, yeah, you know, it's those big corporations that allow us to all be able to afford 5 and 6 televisions in our home when 30 years ago we were lucky to have one. So, yeah, and the corporations don't do always so good. And then the other side, well, the government never does any good. And well, that, we know that because the post office is the best example of the American government system. Oh, my goodness. That chokes me up. The Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines have done a really good job because of the people that are involved in it. But we're in a fight. We're in a fight to get the American people to understand that we're in a mess right now. We're in a fight to get the American people to understand that we have a future to worry about. A lot of people are watching different television programs and different sitcoms, and they don't know that there's a Benghazi going on or what's going on with NSA. Or if I said the word Snowden, everybody on this show, if I say the word Snowden, you know who I'm talking about. But do our people, the people that are listening to the show, do you know who? Or even worse, people that don't even listen to stuff like this. The people that are watching the Disney Channel or the Discovery Channel or ABC or CBS or NBC, do they know that our government is watching almost everything we do? Now, see, I love it. I happen to think that if Barack Obama were to tune into Contending for Truth Radio to Parental Sovereignty Night for 3 hours, he might learn something. I would love for him to listen, and there's nothing that I put online that I'm worried about anybody listening to, but do our listeners know that they're watching anything they really want to watch? Do our listeners know, do the people out there in the world, in the country know that are just watching sitcoms, do they know that they're getting ready to federalize, to socialize our public schools through Obamacare and Common Core? Notice I started with Obamacare. They started socializing our schools with Obamacare. I mean, that's why when you take your child to the doctor, they hand you a note, a little piece of paper, a little slip, but it's designed to go to the school and for your child to take it back to the school. Every single time anybody in the country takes their child to the doctor, there's this little note that's handed over to you, take this to the school. This is the excuse for why they weren't at school today. But it doesn't matter if they went to school or not. That stuff's going on. And that's why I have the passion that I do every week, and that's why I love Dan and Stacy and Rodney and Jennifer and everything we do, and Angela and Angela's group of hard workers. You know, Jennifer Gallegos, who used to be a co-host of this show, she's one of our administrators, and Diana and Laura, they're all listening. Amy. Different people that are working every day. Jennifer Montrose and I, she's gone now tonight. She's gone on to other things. I know she hasn't gone to bed. She's working. She's working on something Frederick Douglass. Or she's working on something that's going on in the locale of Alabama. You know, Stacy, you and Jennifer just got back from Washington, D.C. in the March on Jobs. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that tonight. What are we going to do? Push this show up to about 5 or 6 hours to get everything in? So many things that we could have talked about tonight. We didn't even cover, Rodney, we didn't even cover Obamacare using the high school students of L.A. County to help prop up Obamacare. There's not enough time in the world, folks. So I just want to encourage everybody that's listening, that's listened 3 hours in as far as we have rambled, get online and do something. Help. If you can be a part of the street team, if you can get out there in the street and work and go to your school board and